Simcox, Southwest Missouri Council of Governments, and that was Megan Clark, who had worked with us for many years. Megan had the opportunity to follow her husband in California. So.
Travis Iyer from HDR. Jonas Argus, Tane County Partnership.
Okay, we're all signed in. And we'll go ahead and get started. I think the first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for May 26th. I think you have copies of them at your place. I'll entertain a motion to approve.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Now, the motion is second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Ayes have it. Minutes are approved. Old business. Ron expressed interest. Old business. Anybody have any old business?
Are you going to discuss the status of the expressway project?
I think what we'll do is we'll let Tane County do a start up dates, and probably as a part of that, we'll talk about the expressway.
Later on.
So, well, unless there's any other old business, we're going to move to Tane County updates.
The expressway that they put an application in for this year, it did get denied again. We have a debriefing supposedly coming up sometime in October. Find out what the reason for it is. I haven't learned any new information since our partners meeting.
And there was this thing that Rick provided at the partnership meeting last week.
St. Louis and Kansas City area is the ones that got approved. Okay.
Do we want to make a copy of this as part of the record? Or? Mr. Chairman?
We can go ahead and have that added into the record. This has your notes on it. Can we put this in the record?
Yeah.
I'll give you a copy.
Okay, go ahead and
add
it into
the record. That is a list of the applicants that did prevail and get the bill grant for this round. So I guess
the one was what, like a rail extension?
There's several rail extensions. There was one.
There's a transit center. That was the biggest rail on there. But there was also one with a packaged two or three items together in one rail project. Was an overpass, which is a big, big costly project to go over the railroad. A double overpass, but it had a rail spur accompanied with it. So, and there were probably five rail projects.
Well, the
so they kind of favored them.
The bridge alone on the expressway would be around $6 million. The one bridge going over the railroad.
The one thing that I did notice on there is many of those were very large projects, $60-70 million projects, asking for $10 million. Mm-hmm. They're asking for $7 million. So I'm always pleased that we don't ask for the full amount without doing some self-help in there. So we've always done that. But when you look at those are just extraordinary size projects. And the one thing that's very difficult for me in analyzing that is these are large areas, and they have large needs, but they also have large resources. And when you get into this grant situation, I would think that they would protect some small. There's no small grants in there. There's no small locations with things like, for us, this is a huge deal, but there's nothing like that that was granted this time. It's all big projects from larger areas. Even though they may be rural areas, they're still large projects. So I'm not sure how we're going to overcome that, and it may be what we're suffering from each time. But I did take some time to evaluate those projects, and there just isn't any our size in there that make it. Now, they're probably grant. There is that document is three or four pages long. That is an extract, that's the executive summary of a 72-page document. Every one of those have an expanded discussion about it, but there's nothing like our projects in there. So, again, we talked about it the other day, partners, multimodal does score pretty well in there, and we do have that component. Jason Sibbles is joining us here from Great River. Jason is the grant, has prepared this grant, so that's been discussed. I think where this leaves us is, again, as I pointed out, the definition of insanity is keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different outcome. And we keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome. Well, I'm wondering if we need to continue to do the same thing or whether we need to change and go. I don't think it's necessary to abandon the project. I think it's necessary to adjust our approach. The grant has been plan A, and some alternatives are plan B, C, and D. I think we need to have the grant be plan B, and we need to have a new plan A. And one board member here, I'm saying we start addressing this in bite-sized chunks. We get it into the county budget this time for a certain portion of this to be accomplished.
I think my personal opinion, speaking for Road and Bridge, if we can gain the right of way, then
that's just what I was thinking. If one piece gets the right of way where it's there before something happens to it.
Which has already happened over the life of the project. Evan Sharp was the guy that gave us a big chunk of right of way. Evan died.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that happens when you have a project over a 20-year period, but exactly right. Randy, you got, let's say, Yee. Anything?
I agree. I think if we can get the right-of-way, like I mentioned before I retired, if we could do this in pieces, budget, it may take a little bit of time, but if you do sections of it, maybe we can accomplish over a period of time.
Well, the big deal, you get the right-of-way, and then the first thing you've got to do is to do the bridge so you can bring your cut to the fill area, which you'd have to go across the bridge to do, because the majority of the fill is going to be on the Hollister end of it.
Ron?
Well, I've got maybe a bit of a different viewpoint. I'm all for forging ahead with taking it in bites and making that the number one project, but I don't want to fall on our sword and disavow all the good work that's gone forward thus far. I'm kind of headstrong. I never give up. I just keep in there chewing. But I think we could do both of them in the same thing. You know, number one priority, get the right-of-way acquired or piece of it. That's the benchmark to start out with. But repackage the whole proposal that we sent forward previously for the build grant and include all the things that we've already done as well as some things we have planned without additional monies being expended, just repackage the way it's worded. A lot of the things were in there background wise, but what I'm getting at is make it rehead the project Southwest Missouri Intermodal Linkage or something like that and include that we're linking up that segment of roadway from the Hollister area, Branson Hollister area, with the new bridge over at Forsyth. All the investment that's been put in there. This is going to increase eventually trackage, bettering what we've already expended, what MoDOT expended on that bridge over there. That highway is going to increase that traffic, but I don't think we give that slant in the write-up, you know, make it part of the focus. But additionally, for the transload center to be developed. This linkage has got to happen before it can happen. But we also have it hanging in the wings. We have the railroad that I'm sure they would be interested and willing to pony up the engineering drawings. That's what their industrial engineering departments do all the time. They've already done a preliminary for us for the track that's necessary to lead into the to the transload facility. So make that part of it, and they could even submit the prints for it. No cost to us. The railroad will provide those engineering drawings, and they've got preliminaries that they've already done for us. So we just need to tie that down, have a meeting or two with them, and also link it to the airport, because air freight would, and the potential in the future of it being a port, an inland port, if the transload facility was established. But make this a preliminary where we include a discussion of Southwest Missouri intermodal linkage. And that links Branson, Hollister, the airport, Forsyth, you know, and all that. And I think that would get a lot more attention with the senators and the representatives we have to present it to also. And so it's still making use of all that good engineering work that's gone forward previously, but just repackage it and be minimal cost. There'd be some engineering costs of the packaging that we'd have to fund. But have that go in parallel, and don't, you know, disavow all the good work that's going forward, and the videos that have gone be repackaged. But then when we go to process it next year, really get behind it with, once we got that write-up put together, you know, advertise it with the senators or representatives and push it really hard, and but also learn from your feedback meeting that you're going to have next month. And see if there's a glimmer that might give some impetus. It makes it into a more global, intermodal, multimodal project that limited just highway segment in a rural area, you know, really doesn't strike that. It'd be nice if we could tie it to something that Johnny Morris was doing, but we can't tie it to the 86 extension or anything like that. But that's a suggestion to repackage it. Number one, go after actually acquiring some of the property. That's priority number one. But in parallel, build on what we've done before.
I think it would go forward a lot quicker if we had the right-of-way already showing that we are moving along with it versus not having nothing.
Would that fit kind of what you were talking about, your plan A, Reed?
Jason? So Spencer and I have talked about this, and we've thought a lot about this leading up to this meeting. And I apologize, I got stuck in Springfield there a few minutes extra. But one of the things that, if this board so wishes, if it sounds that way, that the board still feels that this is an important project. We've talked with Devin one-on-one. We've talked with the county. And there's some ways that we can do this, you know. This winter we can get the boundary work done and the right-of-way stuff done. We'll have to leap off. That'll save some money for the county. And then we can start on the bridge itself. That's going to have to be bid out in order to do the cut and fill. The county can perform the work on some of the box culverts on the other crossings. They can build those in-house. That'll save a lot of time and money. The county can haul some of the fill. We can bid some of it out. We can, in coordination with the bridge or in separate contracts, we can start to put this together in pieces. And we've put together quite a, I mean, what was the last numbers we looked at, Devin? Or
if we bid it on our own?
Yeah.
Around $15
million. And so that's an option. What we would like to know, I think it would be helpful is, does the County Transportation Advisory Board feel that it still should be on top of the project? If it sounds that way, that may be a formal, hey, what's your, like, for, let's move forward with the new plan A. And then at the same time, we can always, you know, as it's going along, the thing is that they look at a lot of these grants are what's the risk? Well, this is a green space to a road. So you got a lot of environmental risk. It could get hung up in something. It could, you know, Springfield did their build grant. And they're under a real tight deadline to get construction plans out. I think they have to have a contractor either. They either have to come out to bid or awarded by September of 2021, if I remember right, from yesterday's talk. But fairly quick turnaround for our major project there through Springfield, because the money has to be spent in a certain amount of time. And so that's where they look at a risk, not necessarily it's a risky project because it won't work. It's primarily will the money get spent within the allotted time. What if it gets caught up in some sort of right-of-way issue or some